Morning.
Good morning.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, be with us. Be with me. Help me with the words that I have to say, and may the word. Bob, it's. Oop, there it is. Okay. This will be interesting. Okay. The scripture this morning, well, first of all, the title of this one is New Year, New You.
Scripture is
cutting in and out. I know. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us in himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So how many of you have New Year's resolutions? They are usually about losing weight, going to the gym, eating better, giving up smoking or drinking, cleaning out closets, reading through the Bible, etc. How long do these resolutions last? I looked at two studies. One said 23% of people give up by the end of 1 week, and 43% give up by the end of January. That means only a little over half of the people who make resolutions make it into February. Another study says most people give up between 17 and 18 days into the new year. Pretty discouraging, isn't it? We have the best intentions, but can't carry them out. Either we set goals that are too impossible to make, like, I think I'll lose 20 pounds this week, or I'll go to the gym every day at 5 a.m. Yeah. Or we just can't stick with it. Then life happens. We get sidetracked and never get back to them. There's no reason to feel guilty because these are human goals imposed by who knows who, society, news, but not God. The only way most of us can succeed is to make resolutions that are so easy we can't possibly fail. Like a neighbor of mine when I was young who vowed to no longer eat ice cream with bones in it. I don't think that one's too hard to keep. I read that the early Babylonians, more than 4,000 years ago, made New Year's resolutions to the gods. They made promises to the gods, and if they kept them, they found favor. And if they didn't, well, in John Wesley's time, the Christian church celebrated the coming of the New Year with something called the Covenant Renewal Service. On either New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. This service included reading of scripture and hymn singing. Our Sudanese congregation have a special church service on New Year's Eve, as Sue could attest to, and it lasts most of the night. The Corinne congregation also has a special service to celebrate the New Year. It's a time to celebrate their history and culture and welcome the New Year. As you know, the Chinese celebrate with a big party and service. I think this year is the year of the horse for the Chinese. Next year, maybe we should have a church service on New Year's Eve. That would be kind of fun. Humans have always recognized and celebrated the coming of the new year. We recognize the passing of time. We recognize the changing of seasons. But turning the page on that calendar seems to be like a fresh start. You often take the old calendar and throw it away. Out with the old, in with the new. When the new year starts, we look back at the prior year and reflect on all the things that happened, good or bad. We often look at the beginning of a new year as a chance to start over. Maybe the previous year was not good. Maybe we made bad decisions. Maybe we lost a loved one. Maybe we lost a job. Whatever happened, we are hoping to start over. To look forward instead of back. I would say that 2025 was not a particularly good year for this church. We lost our pastor, we dropped in numbers. But we are looking forward to what God has planned for us with anticipation. When we start writing that new year number, 2026, it feels like a whole new page has been turned, even though January 1st looks a lot like December 31st. It might take months before I stop writing 2025, right, Jana? And eventually I figure it out, usually just before I have to start writing 2027. Remember back in the year 2000 when all the computers were going to crash because of the new year, the new date? That never happened. I don't know why the changing of a date would be such a big deal. I thought our technology was more sophisticated than that. And as it turned out, it was. On New Year's Eve, we were celebrating the end of an old year, and we are celebrating the fresh start of the year to come. Maybe it's a little of both. I don't know about you, but I'm always looking forward to new things. I try not to look back. In our lives, we experience many times of endings and new beginnings, graduations, new jobs, marriages, the birth of children, divorces, deaths. Life is full of these beginnings and endings. Everything in life has a beginning and an end. Only God has no beginning or end. That's a hard concept. Forever, always. When I taught Sunday school, I had a child ask me, "When was God born?" How do you explain to an 8-year-old that God was not born but always was? It was hard, and I'm not sure he fully understood. And I'm not sure all adults fully grasped the concept of that, because everything in our life has a beginning and an end. So it's hard for us to imagine always, infinity, you know, forever. As Christians, we're born twice, once when our mothers give us life, and once when Christ gives us a new life. The scripture for today says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. When we accepted Christ into our lives and into our hearts, we became a new creation. Now, what does that mean? It means that when we ask Christ into our hearts and lives, we are different. We are not the same as we were before. And we are different from others who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. I was baptized by immersion over 30 years ago. I had been baptized as a baby in the Methodist Church. I don't remember that one. But when I was baptized into the American Baptist Church, I do remember that one. I knew that the act of baptism was an outward expression of my faith in Christ. I knew that I had been a Christian all my life, and this dunking was a public declaration of that faith. What I didn't expect was how I felt when I came up out of the water. I felt different. I'm not sure how to describe it, but I felt different. I was filled with joy. I turned and hugged the pastor. I slogged my way out of the baptistry, drenched from head to toe, and felt new. This is the new creation the scripture is talking about. The second part of our passage today says, "The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." That's how we feel about starting a new year, but it's also how we should feel about starting every new day. In Christ, we are a new creation. We are new every day. The old us has passed away, and we became new. If the old us is dark and the new us is light, I think most of us are various shades of gray. Even though I came up out of the baptismal water a new creation, I didn't give up the old me and my habits and feelings immediately or entirely. I'm still a work in progress, as we all are. I don't finish being a work in progress until I die and go to live with Jesus. The balance of the verse is, "All things are from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Being a new creation is from God. We can't be this new creation without him. He dwells in us when we bring Christ into our lives. Only He can change us. That's why most of, if not all, of our New Year's resolutions fail. As a new creation in a new year, we have been reconciled to God through Christ, meaning that whatever kept us from a relationship with God is forgiven and resolved, and we return to Him. Like when you have a falling out with a friend or a family member, and you resolve your differences. It is said you reconcile. The definition of reconcile is caused to coexist in harmony, make or show to be compatible. In order to accomplish this reconciliation, we must be a new creation in Christ. When we are this new creation, which the passage says comes from God, we are given a ministry of reconciliation. That is like the Great Commission. We are to reconcile others to God and to each other. We help non-believers to be reconciled to God. We help believers to be reconciled to each other. We do this in part by leading lives that are an example, by going to others to ask forgiveness and seeking to be reconciled. As the passage says, all this is from God. We can't do this on our own. In Philippians 4:13, Paul states, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Or as the New King James translation puts it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can't forgive or ask for forgiveness without the strength that comes from Christ. In our human frailty, we're unable to do this. We are more apt to hold a grudge. To hold on hurts. But through Christ, we can let these things go. In Philippians 3:13-14, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love the picture, mental picture, that gives this passage, straining toward what is ahead. I picture a marathon runner reaching for the finish line, straining every muscle to push through that tape and claim the prize. So our New Year's resolution should be to work on beginning that new creation in Christ, to strive toward reconciliation for both non-believers and believers. That is something we can do all year, and something we are less apt to give up on, like going to the gym. I have a friend whose New Year's resolution is just a word, like happiness, or service, or patience, instead of an action, a word that exemplifies the type of life she wants to live or the type of person she wants to be in the new year. As a Christian, with our passage in mind, our word might be forgiveness or reconciliation or harmony or peace. Or you could use one of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Any of those would be wonderful. Peter states in 2 Peter 5 that if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we stumble into 2026, let us reach out to others, walk closer with God, and be a shining light in a dark world. Let us pray. Dear Lord, may we welcome the new year and all the plans you have for us. May we recommit to renewing our relationship with you and those around us. May we take time to read your word, pray, and listen to you, and reach out to others. May we strive to be more like you in our treatment of others. We pray that this year we will concentrate on the virtues we talked about during Advent, hope, peace, joy, and love. May we not look back, but look forward to what God will show us for each individual here and for First Baptist Church as a body. We thank you for all you have done for us and will do for us in 2026. Amen.